Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
All right, Poodle, I admit it. Everyone else who's come at me, I know I haven't been on the bandwagon, but I get it. I get it. Now, why people find Ross attractive. I get it.
Why?
Because I didn't get it before. You know, I was like Team Ben, and I still think he's attractive. But as Camille said, Ross is a cad, and I know he's a fuckboy, and I just want him to fuck me over.
You know, it's interesting, because this was the episode where I went, nope, he's hot, not hot to me.
I get it now. He's still not as hot as Ben, but I get it now.
I don't find anybody on this boat hot.
Nobody's like ridiculous.
Yeah.
You'd still hit it. Don't act like you wouldn't.
You know what?
No,
I'd hit it with any of them. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
You know who I think is the hottest on the boat is Fraser this season. I think he is hot. He is so, like, his skin regimen is going
good. His skin looks really good, and he looks hot in those suspenders.
Yes!
Something that kind of got me
going. It was a little BDSM-y for me.
Okay. Don't get gross about it. But you don't think, I was shocked by Ross's body when he was shirtless. Like,
no,
I agree. Tight.
I just think he's all talk, too. Every time he opens his mouth, every idea that I had about him being attractive is not hot. It evaporates for me.
Oh, I guess maybe it's because the physical, his mental, no, none of that is attractive to me now.
See, that's the thing, though. His mental game maybe could pull me across the line, and now I still think he looks vaguely like a shrew or some type of rat-like person. I don't like it.
He does have like I think you said, he looks like someone who the sun has not been kind to them and will not.
No.
He is going to look, when he is 40, he's going to look 70 years old.
He's going to look like a prune. It's yeah. Really bad. Yeah, he's not taking care of his skin.
That's what you get from Below Deck here, y'all. Skincare. Below Deck, y'all. Reality Gaze, Below Deck, Season 10, Episode 4, Thunder from Down Under.
One thing I noticed about this, you said that it was we were talking about before, it was nice to see just slutty, slutty people, again, kind of not caring.
I haven't really had that in any since we started Below Deck.
Yeah, it was really happening in the earlier seasons. I think we've had people who were sometimes either in relationships or they kind of had watched the show and they knew not to be slutty, slutty, slutty for the camera. Mm-hmm. Because they were still professionals. Some of them. But for that's not bit. Stopping Camille, Alyssa, or Ross.
No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah. I think the biggest offender here is Alyssa, who talks about girls being thirsty and then proceeds to basically have spring break Cabo.
Yeah. Exact. Yes.
Yeah. I'm kind of fine if you And in a way, I'm kind of like, Camille, I understand you.
I understand Camille more after this.
You're not talking shit about getting slutty. You're just going to do it.
I will say there is a fakeness from Alyssa that comes, or yeah. Two-facedness.
Yeah.
I get it now. Y'all,
and the way she knows Alyssa's into Ross, and she goes after or into Ben, and she goes after him anyway.
It's actually like Alyssa's not, it seems like she's not a team player.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before we jump into all this, I don't think we have too many y'all, we are collab with Kate Casey. We recorded yesterday. We had a lot of fun. That's going to drop next week. Single Life Tell All is out for our Patreon and Supercast people. Our holiday live show dropped.
Wow. We had a lot doing, a lot going on.
We have a lot doing. Next week, Love in Paradise is going to be dropping two episodes on Monday on TLC. We're going to be releasing the episodes we recorded on our Reality Gaze Plus will be released on our free feed.
If you haven't caught that, it's worth it.
It's very, very good. Also, I wanted to ask you, this is actually, I got to fix my chair. We never really were remote, but goat because Poodle was in New York. I want to make sure that I don't get sick and that he. It sounds like you're not going to get sick though. Apparently, that special formulated lube you got keeps cold as way as well.
I'm bouncing back. My system's a little stronger than yours.
That's like. Fine. Sure. Whatever you want to say, just as long as you're not sick, because I don't want to have to deal with it. Did you see, though, in the midst of you getting banged in New York City?
Yeah.
Did you see Christina Applegate on I believe it is on Kelly Clarkson's show?
Yes. And she was surprised crying.
But she got surprised by Captain Lee.
Yes.
It was really, for any of y'all who haven't seen it, I want to just. It's why we love Captain Lee. If you know Christina Applegate, she was diagnosed with MS, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so she's been dealing with that. This last season of Dead to Me just came out. And
she loves Below Deck. She's a big fan.
She loves Below Deck. That's what she watches. And Captain Lee surprised her. And it's this really sweet video of him saying, like, you know, cheering her on, telling her that, you know, he's saying things like, you're going to eat this MS's ass and chew it out. And all the stuff that Captain Lee says.
Yeah. He's like, she loses it.
Yeah, he says, we'll take you out. We'll get you on a ship. She loses. It's really fucking sweet, and it's why it makes it even more hard to see this episode with Captain Lee kind of be humbled like this. He's such a sweet man.
You know the history of him with Carl, right?
I know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was on – did they
do
it in
the reunion? Summer House we're talking about.
Reunion or watch what – happens.
Oh no, it goes way back to where they met sometime, and he was talking about his brother's drug addiction, and when his brother died, Captain Lee called him, and they've been in touch ever since then, and
talking
with his sobriety journey and everything like that.
I think didn't he talk about it on the reunion that year when we did that season?
I think he did.
So yeah, y'all, he's just
it's hard. It's actually it makes this season I feel like the other shoe's about to drop every time. And so I don't feel like it's weird. I can't kind of let myself enjoy this season because it's so hard to watch Captain Lee not just negotiate kind of illness, but you know he doesn't like to be thought of as weak by anybody else, and especially as like other viewers. And so it's hard not to get super empathetic and try to feel what Captain Lee's feeling.
Yeah.
And feeling like ashamed. And I don't know. I it makes me very nervous to watch.
Well, I mean, just you kind of wonder literally who is going to captain the ship. I mean, Fraser and Ross have that conversation just before we.
That was remarkable when they said, "I don't know who's coming in," and they both have. Ross has problems. Ross has problems with Big talking about his sexual exploits and gross like that. I think he actually is pretty good at his job, except for the problems with the women on his team who he probably shouldn't try to fuck.
He's gonna try to fuck every woman, even Camille.
No, he will try to fuck her. The problem happens when you get it's he's garying. He needs to be really careful about his garrying because he's not charming enough to pull it off.
Well, and there's, yeah, that's true. He is garrying, and sadly, there is not, I forgot her name, I'm blanking, but
there's awkward. No Daisy.
There's no Daisy to put him in check.
That is exactly the truth. Yeah. Boy, that is real.
It's no,
the
he
only
needs
reason
that.
Why it's the only reason why sailing yacht works is those two kind of at opposite poles and strangely on the same pole.
Are we still some talking people, about the show or are you just talking about
I
poles?
Think I'm thinking about Roger Dick. Yeah, honestly. Yeah.
There we are, everybody. There we are.
It never leaves, really. Never really goes
I know.
Away.
I know.
What's I was going to say your
that
first
was my first teabag was Christina. I wanted to talk about Christina Applegate. So what's yours, Poos?
something tangentially related to the show.
Well, it happened this week. So for people that didn't see it, I want you to see it. It was impertinent.
No, it's pertinent. No, it wasn't impertinent. It was pertinent.
I was trying to combine.
Oh. Y'all, my first teabag is Rachel doing her job and letting Fraser know. He's like, okay, you got to know this about Camille. She is not doing her job. She basically says, you need to get in there and fix that. And
yes.
She's not being passive aggressive about it.
No,
she's not in a way. She knows that it is undermining business on the boat, not because she doesn't like any of these people. She probably doesn't like Camille. No one does, except for Ben, who just wants to fuck her.
I have to say, I don't even know if she really likes Alyssa because Alyssa has this. She's good at her job for the most part. She's not good as a leader, but she also I think she is socially awkward. So Alyssa tries really hard.
Yeah.
But you're right. This isn't emotion. This isn't about who I like at all. She's just telling him like they were. Camille was trying to throw Alyssa under the bus at the hindrance of the charter.
Yeah, it's really bad. And Rachel is just going to step in and say you need to get this. I also need to point out
that's a poodle move.
It is. I need to point out though. Although I would like, I'd probably do it with someone I didn't like and act like. I was doing it for the good of the boat.
Wow. Whoa.
But no, both things would be true at the same time. It would just serve dual purposes for me.
Wow.
But one thing I realized as I was watching is this is early in the season, and I actively don't like four crew members. And I like four others.
Who do you actively don't like?
I do not like Alyssa. I do not like Camille. I do not like Ross. And Katie's on the fence for me right now.
Ah, okay. I don't have that many.
I don't. It's rare that it happens so early for me. I think it's just that I find no one's really. I'm not seeing lots of positives between some people. I like everybody else though.
It's interesting. It's as if I don't really like Camille. However, she makes me laugh every episode because she says stupid, just stupid, self-involved, completely unaware things.
She's a good villain.
So where Alyssa honestly kind of doesn't give me good TV and she's a bit annoying.
Yep.
And honestly, I'm just, can Tony get bored and leave the boat already?
It's interesting. He's not really giving a lot of good TV.
He's not.
I think not in this episode. I think I'm kind of ambivalent towards him now.
Who do you think's going to leave the ship first? Because if anybody leaves, because we're far enough along where we would know. And my money actually is on Tony. Of Tony saying, I feel this is too much. This isn't what I wanted. And he just wants to leave.
I don't think it would be. I don't think it'd be a huge disaster if he left.
No.
They would need a new deckhand, obviously. I think he was brought on for more kind of entertainment value anyway.
Well, and because eye candy, because you were into him first episode.
Yeah, there's just not a lot anymore. I think Camille's going to get fired. I think Camille's
not. It's not looking good because when Rachel said that, but here's the deal. Let's talk about that. Fraser said, well, she's not doing, she's not doing what I asked her to do. And it's very clear. And then later you see like he's annoyed that she's not cleaning the iron and she does. But unless it's next episode, but we go the rest of the episode and after the crew, Fraser never talks to her about this. Fraser and Ross have this, but this does not.
What's starting to happen is Fraser's turning into kind of like a, an undercover chief stew that's really not wanting to step in, and it's going to get worse and worse. I think, I think he's waiting till she has a big mistake, and it's, I think he's trying to put himself above it.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, I think he made the wrong call by ranking stews so soon. Mm-hmm. You always see him now working with Haley, I think, to train her more, I guess that's normal. But Alyssa and Camille are going to continue to make things awful. And he needs to, he can't just say, it's too early in the charter to say someone needs to get fired. And he can't fire Alyssa because she's too good at her job. Can't really fire Camille yet because she hasn't fucked up enough. But he needs to get in there, and it's a lot. He's going to be blamed for it though. But I loved Fraser's kind of deference to Captain Lee and him checking in with Captain Lee.
Yeah.
Really. And I love their relationship. And I swear, that's what I'm saying. Fraser is the hottest guy on the boat for me this season.
Well,
I don't know where it happened.
He's freaked out that he ate a muffin. That's relatable.
Queen.
That's relatable.
That was my teabag.
Okay. Let's talk about this. I mean, there wasn't even really build up. They're just on a boat and Ross just leans over and fucking just starts making out with Katie.
Yeah, this was weird, right? I think it was a continuation of something that happened earlier.
Okay. It felt like we missed something.
I think he's kissed her before in a previous episode.
Oh, he did? I forgot.
Yeah. But I think something's happened before. This wasn't the first time.
You think they fucked already?
Well, no, but one of the things that Ross does, I think that he may be the only guy on the boat where, for some reason, these women. I think he's the only guy on the boat with confidence, or something. I don't, because
well,
Ben
yeah,
Ben doesn't have
going.
A lot. Yeah, it's but the only reason Camille is with Ben is that she initiated it all. No one else. Yeah, and
Tony,
Alyssa,
she knows, is boring.
Yes,
and it's really Tony, she knows, is boring. She doesn't want to touch Ross.
Yeah, well, I think though Camille is fine being the aggressor. If none of the other girls came up to Ben, he would not have made the first move. Ross will make the first move. He's the only man on the boat who's going to do that. So I think that's why Ross is getting all the play.
Yeah, that's true.
Sadly.
That's true. But you respond to that. You like it. You've said you want a guy to be aggressive and make the move.
I do, but then I kind of want to meet him halfway and make the first move first. But I want him to want to make the first move. Does that make sense?
Yeah, exactly. See how hard it is to date Poodle, y'all.
It is not hard. I'm a lovely person.
Whoa.
Well, they can't seem to get enough because they're all lining up. Boy, I got back into town and Jesus. It was like I had like searchlights on my apps or scruff. They knew it.
Wow. Mm. So humble.
I'm just telling you what happened.
You know, good for you.
Do you have the next one? You were talking about.
I was just talking about the kiss. And I think, go ahead.
I want to talk about Camille kind of, the way Fraser said it, Camille's like, yeah, I got to go down because I'm going to be, I need to go down tonight because I'm on deck the next game.
And I want to ask you about this.
Okay. So Camille's just demanded to go down.
So I wanted to ask, I mean, she's, I wanted to ask you this because I was a little confused, or you've seen more prior seasons. So we've already had just a, this isn't necessarily, this is like an extra tea bag or on the tea bag already, a tea bag on a tea bag. But we already had Camille say over the radio, I thought everyone already stood. I'm always in laundry. Like we had that moment where now the whole boat now.
I thought it was even understood that I'm always in laundry.
Haley even commented like, that's not a good look. Alyssa goes, ugh. Even Fraser made a comment and said, it's like, yeah, Rachel rolls her eyes and goes, oh geez. So everybody's getting it now. So on top of that, because you said there was one season where someone was a deck and a stew before.
No. Never. It's never happened before.
Oh, so it's never happened. So that's what I wanted. I guess you can answer this question then, because I thought, is that feels to me not appropriate to say that to your head stew, but we've also never had someone to remind them that they're doing this other job.
Well, I go back to the thing they said on the first episode is she's a stew until they need you for deck.
But she doesn't understand that, because if we go back to the beach party, she literally wanted
to on deck right now.
She wanted to, when they were at the beach party, she wanted to stand there and drink a fucking Red Bull. And Alyssa and Rachel are running around and they're looking at her, and then she just sips the Red Bull and says, I'm on deck right now. And Rachel says first, I don't know, you're not. We're serving right now. Everyone is serving.
I kind of admire her brazenness. It takes my breath away a little bit.
It's some chutzpah, that's for sure.
And the fact is, this person is only acting this way because she has received all the cues around her that this, that she can throw her balls around and that no one's going to check her.
Because Fraser has not yet.
No, she doesn't do that with Captain Lee. That's what I'm saying. I pointed this out in our last episode. Camille has gotten where she is today by code switching like a motherfucker.
Yep.
And she's really, really, really good at it.
She is.
And if you give her a little inch, she will get in there and she'll flop out her big old balls and she'll make you suck them. Her big old girl balls. And they're salty.
Didn't like this analogy.
But what I mean is she's going to own whatever situation, and then she'll realize that she's not going to get checked, and she will continue to push until she kind of gets whatever she wants, and she winds up bullying everybody else, and everyone just kind of hates her around, but no one can say anything to her.
Yeah.
It's crazy that there's she's that type of person, and she's a very strong personality, and she just kind of does what she wants until someone checks her. So I don't think it's going to be Fraser. Maybe it's not. Maybe next episode. I think Captain Lee leaving is going to be even more disorienting for everyone. So I don't know what's going to happen with this new situation, because no one in Interiors is happy.
No, they're not. Y'all, we're going to talk about this more when we come back after the break.
Sibling fights are unavoidable. But what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Poodle, I gotta tell you, I think I just made one of the best investments for myself.
Oh, thank God. You got rid of those braces and decided to sew your mouth completely shut. Perfect.
No. The doctor just added 4 more months.
Oh, I think he's trolling me at this point.
No. See, now that I'm putting myself out there...
No one wants to hear about your dating life.
But you talk about yours all the time.
Because mine is interesting.
Well, I wanted to let you know that I took a page from your book and it worked.
Ooh, you slept with their ex to make them jealous?
No.
You pulled their credit report?
What?
Made a copy of their keys while they were sleeping?
How are you not in jail?
Deny, deny, deny.
No, Poodle. I decided to get myself a pair of Me Undies great new underwear, which makes my, important parts look more junk forward.
Junk forward? Wait, are you talking about the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies?
Yes, the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies.
I love the contoured pouch and ball caddy from Me Undies. There's no other way to date in this world. If you're not dating junk forward, you're doing it wrong.
I think you're right. And you never told me that they're so comfortable.
Well, usually I'm not wearing them that long. But yes, they are so soft. And the more you wash them, the softer they get. And they still keep you tucked and lifted in all the right places. When I wear them, I can barely keep men away from me. Oh, the way they stare. They look like burly, hungry cavemen searching for a nice meal after a long caveman day of nomadically crossing the tundra. To them, I'm like a piece of meat roasting over an open, smoky flame.
Speaking of smoking, not only does my junk look great in MeUndies, but my butt looks hot.
Okay, no one wants to hear your over-sexualized descriptions. Have some class.
Sissies, we've fallen in love with MeUndies, and you can too. They have a style for everyone. From all black classics to fun expressive prints, MeUndies has a look for everyone. Plus, they come in sizes extra small to 4XL, guaranteeing a flattering cut for everybody.
And MeUndies isn't just about underwear. Explore the lounge collection featuring joggers, hoodies, onesies, and more. With unmatched comfort, MeUndies' signature fabric is as soft as a warm hug from your favorite sweater. It's breathable, stretchy, and oh so comfy, making it ideal for all-day wear.
And they use sustainably sourced materials and work with partners that care for their workers.
And you know Mother Poodle loves a return policy. Not happy with the first pair of MeUndies? It's on MeUndies. Caw!
Sissies, good things come in big packages at MeUndies. Get 20% off your first order plus free shipping at MeUndies.com/RealityGaze.
That's MeUndies.com/RealityGaze for 20% off plus free shipping. MeUndies, comfort from the outside in.
To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies.
Oh my God, Poodle, I can't stop singing that song either. It's so catchy.
So catchy. Sissies, we are obsessed with the Songfinch original song that we premiered at the Toronto Live Show. Songfinch lets you create an original radio-quality song inspired by your own life and the people you love. It's completely unique, personal, and lasts forever.
For example, we wanted to create a song dedicated to our Canadian listeners, some of which have waited 4 to 5 years to see us live. After the show, we had so many people tell us how special the song made them feel, and we are still getting DMs and comments about it.
And the Songfinch songwriter was so clever, incorporating all our sissy references like Aunt Peggy's Lip, Elizabeth Smart, and even Keep Going Queens.
Yes. Songfinch walks you through a simple process to create your original song. Just tell them who the song is for, what style of song you want, and then share some personal details about your relationship. Then an actual Songfinch musician of your choice will write, record, and produce your original song in just 4 to 7 days.
You can also choose unique add-ons to make the gift even more personalized, like a vinyl record of your song or a piece of one-of-a-kind art made from your lyrics. You can even add your song to Spotify. With more than 350,000 happy customers, Songfinch is proud to be called the number one custom music company in the world.
Whether your song is for Mother's Day, Father's Day, an upcoming graduation or a wedding, or just to show a loved one how much you care, start your song now to lock in a top Songfinch artist.
And for a limited time, Songfinch is letting our listeners upload their song to Spotify for free, so you and the lucky person you gifted to can listen to it anywhere, anytime.
Go to songfinch.com/realitygaze and start your song. After you purchase, you'll be prompted to add Spotify streaming for your original song for free, a $50 value.
Again, our URL is songfinch.com/realitygaze. Don't forget to share your song with us, too.
Songfinch.com/realitygaze. Now, Gary, play us out with a little bit of our Songfinch original song to all our queens.
Love yourself, never be ashamed. Have hope and find your happy.
Hey, hey,
our Canadian listeners, we know
know you get tired of waiting. Reality gaze is coming to you, so no more complaining. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed. To all our queens, to Caitlin and the Canadian sissies, love yourself, never be ashamed, have hope and find your happy.
Have hope, keep going, queens.
Okay, so Katie says she's from Miami, right?
Yeah, Florida.
Florida, and she says, there, you're either dealing with fuck boys that just want to hook up, or you have people with lots of money that will fuck around with you. Poodle, when are you moving?
Sounds like a deal.
Sounds like my kind of town. Poodle, we can finally get that studio in Miami.
I think she's probably right. People Lee, run,
why
people
do you have
run
to have
away.
Morals? Why?
People run away to Miami. Like, people run away to L.A. I want to talk about... Katie's interesting to me because I feel like she's trying to... I think she's realized she's on a television show, which I feel like Alyssa's forgotten.
She has.
Or maybe she doesn't care. But I Katie is saying, like, kind of to Ross... you know, if you're into that girl, I'll step aside. Y'all, it's the most passive aggressive way of saying.
It's really passive aggressive. It is.
Because she doesn't want to step aside. She just doesn't want. She doesn't want to be. She doesn't want to want him enough. That it makes her look bad.
Oh, yeah. You're not gonna sing it.
No, I'm not.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Wanting to be wanted. No. That's it. That's it. I started too high. I'm sorry.
You apologize for stupid things no one cares about.
No, I should apologize for starting it too high.
It's fine.
Anyone who's listening who knows the Most Happy Fellow score goes, started too high. And I go, I should apologize for that because I started too high. And it's not the best part of my voice. I'm going to apologize when something needs apologizing for. I'm not going to apologize for insulting you because that doesn't need an apology. When it comes to that, something that's important. I need to talk about this. My next teabag is when Haley's like, when she's like, just put it nice and tidy, great. And she breaks the glass right there. And I screamed.
I screamed too. That made me laugh so much.
I love Haley.
I love their dynamic.
They're definitely my favorites this season of everybody. I'm going to be interested. I know there's a lot of fighting that happens because we saw it in the trailer. Most of it looks like it's Camille and Alyssa, and a little bit of Katie.
Yeah. Because I know that. And again, it's going to be Katie. What we're seeing, Katie and Camille room together.
Yep.
So guess who's going to start talking? Guess who starts talking shit?
Talk about Alyssa. Yeah. Ironically, and then Katie's going to.
Well, no, ironically, Camille's kind of talked about it. She has some. But now Katie's the one that comes in talking shit about. And then Camille is like, yes.
And you can see her. You can see her. She starts to salivate.
Yeah. And she just jumps right in. And I went, oh, no. This is going to brew. And that is probably the only thing Camille won't now fuck around with Ross, actually, because Camille wants to show Katie that she's loyal to her.
Yeah. I'm telling y'all, Camille
is good shit.
You said she was dumb and she says certain things like that. She's street smart like a motherfucker, though.
I think she is street smart. I agree.
She can read people immediately of how she can use them.
I agree with that.
Camille's one of these people in life who's kind of dangerous, y'all. If you're with her,
yeah,
she'll find some way to use you for something until something better comes along.
And she's lazy about anything unless it's about something that gives her attention or something she wants to do. Because, for instance, like when she goes up to the next day in the morning, she goes up to the – and it's for the deck crew. They're going to dock. And she's like, oh, what do you need to do? And Katie's like, well, we've got nothing left to do. She was like, great. I love being on deck.
And the thing is, y'all, I know this person's reprehensible. I am completely aware. She gives really good TV, though.
She gives really good TV, y'all.
And that's why I'm saying – if she's fired, it won't be until halfway through the season.
We got to
get it in.
It's going to take a lot for her to get fired.
And especially with Sandy there. Y'all, Sandy, the thing about...
Sandy's going to love her.
I know.
And she's going to kiss Sandy's ass.
She's going to kiss Sandy's ass. I'm actually the one person I'm worried about if Sandy comes, which is almost certain. It may be Glenn, but they've kept it really under wraps. All the rumors are saying it's Sandy. I wonder how Rachel's going to do with Captain Sandman, with being passive aggressive. She doesn't do well with that.
I think she doesn't do well with that, but I think that Captain Sandy, because what you said, the rumors are that Captain Sandy comes for a little bit and then Captain Lee comes back.
Comes back. Yeah.
So if it's just for this kind of intermediary period, I think Captain Sandy knows Rachel does her job well, and as long as there's no complaints, Rachel will be fine, and Captain Sandy will say great.
I hope you're right.
If there's a crew complaint, then shit. If there's a charter complaint, I think Fraser will be fine. I actually think who probably has the most peril could be womanizing Cad Ross
from Captain Sandy.
Okay, if it seems like he doesn't have his crew together, and if shit goes wrong, I could see her kind of being bristled at his kind of, because he does give off this kind of like, it's not macho, but he does give off this
maybe, but he's not having any problems getting his stuff done.
They had a little bit of a line problem this time, but I guess. Captain Lee acted like that wasn't... I was confused by that.
They made
such a big deal, but then Captain Lee acted like it wasn't a big deal at all.
Well, he said it was the line was improperly tied.
But
I don't
then
know
didn't
who
get on
to...
Like, somebody should have been talked to about that, right?
All of these dockings, when they don't hit somebody, but they don't hit a person or a dolphin, all of them are intentional drama for no reason. I've stopped caring about the docking drama a long time ago. Only if it involves two uncircumcised penises do I care about docking.
Well, and just think, what if they had the drama for those type of dockings that you have on a boat? You probably would enjoy that more.
Ooh, I hit a dolphin.
God damn it, you better get this right. It means something different when you're docking with another man and you say, God damn it, get this right or I'm going to eat your ass out. Because you really are.
I will eat your ass.
Rachel's impression of him is really fucking good.
I'm so glad she's back.
I love her.
I want to bring back my next tea bag is Rachel's hat that she went out with. She looks great. It is very Lady at the Regatta.
I didn't notice it.
She's got a little jaunty hat.
Really?
Ooh, it's so good.
God, that's the gayest thing to notice.
I know. No, it's wonderful.
No, I mean, but it's just, why don't you wear hats more often? Because you really love hats. Is it because you get
hot?
I
love hats on ladies, especially.
But like, why don't you wear hats and jaunty hats?
I get hot.
Fascinators.
Oh, that's true.
You could do that.
Maybe I'll do my own line of male fascinators. Just little tiny fascinator.
I like that. Massinators.
For the masculine man. When you want a fascinator, but you're a man.
That's how they spell M-A-S-C and then nators.
Massinators. But they're in like really masculine things, like a baseball.
It's baseball.
And
and like a Playboy bunny, or I don't know.
New York Mets.
Dip a skull. Something on there.
What else do men like? Because I don't know straight men like. I don't know.
I don't know. The Third Eye Blind or Dave Matthews logo, band logo.
where have you been? AOL Instant Messenger called. Jesus.
I don't know.
You're right. I don't know what straight men like. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Maybe it's a video game cartridge if they use those. Yeah. Yo, I am seriously clueless to what straight men enjoy.
I'm telling you, masinators, they're like a shawl for your head because they don't cover up the sides and you don't get as hot.
I think this is an idea. Maybe we can go on Shark Tank.
I'll be right there behind you.
I can see me presenting it going, yeah. Every straight man wants a little tiny jaunty thing for their hair.
Yeah, and Mark Cuban just looks more confused than normal.
You look great, Mark. I've been working out. But that's mine. I loved her hat, honestly. Okay. That's where we are.
Okay, you loved her hat. Where was I? Oh, okay. So did they do the docking, all that kind of stuff?
I'm sorry. I do want to bring up because I think we're going to move on. Can we talk about the tip meeting?
But before that, wanted to say that, like, I thought this was one of the best ways to cater dinner to this charter group. It was really moving. It was Captain Lee was there, and he's so sincere about it. That's what I love about Captain Sincere. Captain Sincere.
If you want to be sincere.
Captain Sincere is just so Lee.
It's so Lee. I hate that song from Bye Bye Birdie, Sincere. It's such a blah song to me.
Most of the score isn't great, if you ask me. But, you know.
Did they write another musical?
Bye Bye Birdie? Who wrote Bye Bye? No, Charles Strauss wrote Bye Bye Birdie. Yeah, Charles Strauss wrote, like, lots of musicals. Charlie Brown. It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman that no one knows. Annie. Charles Strauss wrote Annie.
Oh, he wrote Annie. Look at that. The more you know.
The more you know.
The more you know.
The more you know. The more you know. And the more he doesn't know everybody.
Fine by me. You know what, y'all? You don't need to know everything in life. You'll be just fine. Doesn't fucking matter. I feel, though, that, like, he's able to say things from the heart that don't feel cheesy because of his kind of grizzliness. But this was great. Like, I got a little teary just thinking about where these doctors have come from, because this was probably filmed right when finally things in COVID started to lift. Like, these people were just getting out of it.
Yeah.
And it was just a great idea, and I thought Rachel killed it. That's all I wanted
to say. I think it was filmed in kind of like the beginning. I want to say probably like January, February of 21, I think.
21 or 22?
Oh, you're right. I think 22. I'm sorry.
But
I think
still,
they started, yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of, that's kind of when we last, because I remember last
charter
year, this
season,
time, we were.
Charter season's around 6 weeks.
Yeah, so I think they did in the spring, because we were still, y'all, we were still in the throes of getting through that pandemic this time
last COVID.
Year. All right, so you were talking about a teabag, you were talking about. But I don't
Camille,
remember.
Basically in the tip meeting, she's like, yeah, I need to say something. I need to say something. I'm still trying to figure out my position. Y'all, everyone just wanted to go spend their money. And both Fraser and Ross go, like, you almost hear, number one, you are going to Captain Lee without going to your superiors first.
Well, you're going in front of everyone.
Yeah. This might have been one of her biggest missteps.
I'm sorry. No, I thought you were done.
No, I was just going to say, now neither one of your department's heads are going to trust you.
That's true. That's true. They're not.
Yeah.
The episode hasn't aired about this, but we talked about this on with Pumps and Jennifer Welch on their podcast called
I've had it.
And we talked about people that ask a fucking question in the, at the end of class that's just about them and has nothing to do with anyone else. Yeah. That was another verse. This was just grand for her just to say, look at me. And so not only does she did, you're right. I never thought of it this way. She did two. I was going to make one point, but you're right. She did two things that were really a bad calculation.
Yeah.
Now her two bosses don't trust her. Her three bosses, because Captain Lee's not an idiot.
No.
And now my takeaway was, and now no one in the crew trust her because they know they will throw her under the bus in front of everyone and not come and talk to them about
this
it.
This is true.
So now no one trusts her on the boat.
That is true. She's going to continue,
girl,
though, to not make big errors. And it's hard to fire someone unless they make huge, huge errors. You can make like little interpersonal ones. But
I mean, Ross called her a Labrador. He said, like, an attract. She's great for morale, but she's not useful to me. So it's not even like she's doing that much for him.
It's not going to go well. I also need to talk about, this is a big deal. You said you're into Ben. Ben is a good kisser. I kind of started to come around. I kind of switched in a little ways to from Ross to Ben.
Ben is still more hot to me.
When Ben kissed her, I was like, holy God. That tongue went going, and I felt rumblings in my stomach. It was like Mount Etna starting to explode on the White Lotus. When the throes of passion start to move around, makes the volcano explode.
When are you going to get it done? How long has it been? It's time. Wait.
Not long at all.
Oh, but it didn't take. Well, you got banged in New York, but then you flew 6 hours.
No, it did take, but I flew 6 hours.
You flew 6 hours, so then that makes your fucking, it gives it a half-life.
No.
So
it's kind of like a time change. It's actually negative fucking now.
Yeah, it's negative fucking, yes. And I just want to remind you of something. You are leaving on Friday to see your mother for 13 days.
God. I'm probably going to get it done on Wednesday night.
Please do. You're not going to make
please.
It. Please. Just, you're going to have them lining up by the time you come back from Christmas. I'm not going to see you for 3 days.
Yeah. It's going to be like Live at Disneyland. You must be this long to ride.
Doesn't matter how tall you are.
No, it doesn't matter. No.
Because sometimes those short guys can surprise you.
We can take circumference.
Oh, boy.
That's fine, too.
I mean, if I had a dollar for every time a short Latino man took me to church and then made me praise God, woo! I'd at least have $20.
Salve, okay. Regina.
Exactly.
Ave
so,
Maria.
Alyssa, this is what I mean by Alyssa not reading the room, in that, so we're starting to get, so Ross has told Katie, I find you the most, because Ross is going to tell them what they want to hear. He's told Katie he finds her the more attractive person. He's already told Alyssa, and Alyssa told Katie this, because Alyssa and Katie and Haley have this moment where Haley's like, well, who's it going to be? And that's where they all three admit that they have feet, or that they all three talk about how Alyssa and Katie both are flirting with Ross.
Yeah.
Katie doesn't mention that she's made out with him. But yeah. Alyssa, what you would think is Alyssa now already knows about Katie. And so that's where you talk about Katie. Katie pulls probably more of a Maddie, and old school Maddie, and backs Maddie in his 20s and backs off and is passive aggressive. And Alyssa pulls a poodle and goes in hard.
Yep. Because now she really wants him.
Now, we don't do this now, but y'all in our 20s now, like when Ross and Katie are talking and Alyssa literally bolts to them and says like, am I third wheeling?
Hey.
God, you're
annoying.
Can I
put my boobs in your face?
God.
No, y'all, if you have to ask, am I third wheeling? You are, and everyone hates you.
Thank you. You are.
And everyone hates you.
And everyone hates you.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the worst thing to be.
It's the worst thing to be.
Yeah. It's the worst thing to be.
What's your next one?
That's like when you're out if I'm meeting a guy and I just like get in front of you and so you can't even be around.
That's why I don't go out with you anymore. I prefer just not.
I'm not just cock blocking. I block your whole body. I put my back to you.
You do. Thankfully, we don't go after the same guys. Thankfully.
That's true.
I mainly just don't go out with you because I don't want the bartender to kick me out as well.
Y'all, we you sent it to me and I saw it later on. Our friend Drew Drogi, this happened in Los Angeles. So if you think that everybody is okay with, if you think, oh yeah, everyone who's queer, LGBT, it's fine now. In Los Angeles, the El Compadre restaurant.
Echo Park, a very gay-friendly area of Los Angeles.
He said we were just kind of like kissing, and the managers came over and said, sir, this is a family establishment.
Not making out, just kind of like
number one. And he's like, there were other couples there who were kind of doing the same thing. And number one, ain't lots of families at El Compadre. And I've done lots of things in that parking lot that were not family orientated.
I was going to say,
I have completely defiled the whole area around there.
He has gone on a lot of cast parties at El Compadre.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway, y'all,
lots of queso everywhere, if you know what I mean.
Live in Los Angeles. Tell El Compadre that you're not giving them their business right now.
Yep, and I'm never going there again.
Neither am I.
Yep. And I enjoy their food. So I will sacrifice.
How brave, as you say. How brave.
No, who was it that said that? Who was it that said, I've sacrificed? Jovi, I've sacrificed so much.
I've sacrificed so much, Riara.
Who was it? No, who sacrificed lots? Maybe that's on. No, Pedro, I've sacrificed my life for you, Pinky.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I have anything besides this kind of bad girls club thing at the end where they're all just going at it.
They're all going at it. We get the Ross and Fraser comment where I loved it where Ross is just divulging all this sexual information and Fraser says, well, this is information that it isn't wanted or welcome actually, but it does help me.
Oh, what a bitch. I love it. I love
what
it.
What a bitch. Y'all, but Ross talks a really big game.
I know. And I think sometimes I think it's just talk, but then he also says he can't not have sex for more than a week.
It made him less attractive. I was kind of getting into him. Then when he said that, I was like, yeah, gross.
14 times a day he jerks off.
Oh, come on.
How are you not chafed?
Now, no one jerks off 14 times a day.
And the penis just goes at the end.
If you jerk off 14 times.
Just spits out a cloud.
Yeah. If you jerk off 14 times a day, send Poodle a DM with a video.
If you can jerk off 14 times a day, we need to meet. I need to know you in several senses. Oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And then at the end, send him a DM, take it or fake it. Captain Lee sits him down, tells him, I made a decision to leave the boat. To be continued.
That's the show.
That is the show. It was kind of an uneventful, but I really enjoy talking about it with you because it's just nice to have messiness on our boat.
This
finally
is the messiest episode we've seen in a long time. We did mention, and even Ben, with the name of the episode comes from Ben saying he wanted to be in Thunder from Down Under, which is the male strip.
It's true.
Thing. I don't know what to think about him yet. I agree.
Like, he's hot to me, but I still don't know who he is. I don't get him.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of vapid people on this ship.
And that's what is making it a good season of Below Deck.
Well, it's weird because they used to have, you kind of could get inside personalities. And maybe it's that when I started watching the show, I was kind of like in my early 30s, and I could kind of understand That
it's like
more...
Summer House. Summer House is not fun to watch when you're in.
When you're 40.
When you're in your 40s, Summer House just, you're like, God, these people need to get their shit together.
Like, oh, I would need to, like, where's my reflux medicine?
Yes. This just doesn't make, not another lover boy. Ugh.
Or when you're like, is no one going to clean up the house before they go to bed?
Go to bed. Thank you. Don't leave those dishes in there. You'll get bugs.
All
right.
That's
y'all,
all
we
gotta
go because we're going to do, after this, we're recording our collab with Cray Cray. We're very excited. Yes. Our Gay Cray collab that'll be airing during the holiday season because we're taking a vacation, but we know some of you are going to be with your families. Do we announce what we're covering?
No, but I guess we could.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
The Luke? Masked Scammer. Le Scammer Masqué. I don't think that's the title, but
it's pretty bonkers. It's on Netflix. It's a documentary. Well,
This one did. Make sure you got subtitles and you don't want it dubbed.
Oh yeah, I didn't know. So just so y'all know, if the dubbing comes on your Netflix, you can turn. I was like, oh, I hate watching things with dubbing.
I hate dubbing.
So yeah, you can do the subtitles. But anyway, y'all, so we're excited. We're gonna see Kim and Kyle. We're excited to say hello to our squirrel friends. All right, everybody, go to our website, realitygaze.com. Find us on the Instagram, the TikTok, the golly.
Reality Gaze.
Just saw another thing about that guy who owns Twitter. He's making it harder and harder to stay on that platform. It's not good. So we're not doing much on there, y'all, but for right now,
the only reason I'm staying, or both of us are staying, is just there is a certain group that we communicate with that isn't on any other platform. So
exactly. And we know some of you. That's what you use. So, yeah, that's what we want to be there for y'all. We don't really care about anything else.
I used to go on Twitter just for the news. I don't even do that. It's become a really kind of unfriendly place.
Yeah.
It's always been a cesspool, y'all. Let's be honest.
It's true.
Twitter's the eyelash from Reddit.
Yeah. There you go. All right, everybody. We'll see you next week, but until then, it's what poods?
Anchors again.
Sibling fights are unavoidable, but what if every fight you had was under a microscope on a global scale? That's the reality for brothers Prince William and Prince Harry. They were each other's closest friends and allies since the death of their mother, but that all began to crack as they married and took wildly different approaches to their royal duties.
Wondery's podcast, Dis and Tell, is hosted by comedians Sydney Battle and Matt Bellassai. Each episode unpacks one of pop culture's most iconic celebrity feuds, and they recently took a deeper look into the real reason William versus Harry started.
It's actually much bigger than these two brothers, stretching back into the history of the British monarchy. Did their feud start with the royal family's mistreatment of Meghan Markle, or was it something that started much earlier?
Follow Dis and Tell on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.